Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Offseason. What offseason? In the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, there is no offseason. We want to talk football 24-7, 365. And when we talk football, well, we got to get our guys from the footballguys.com on with us. And our favorite, one of our regulars, Sigmund Bloom, joining us in the sports bar from the Big Easy. Sig, how are you?
Oh, doing great. I mean, this is a time to catch our breath. The OTAs are over, so there's not much new information, just a trickle of information to be integrating into our big picture. Go to the beach like the NFL does. I'm going to do that for a couple of weeks. And then we come back and the fire hose turns on when we get to training camp. But there's so much to think about. No matter what team we would pick, there's a lot of things in motion. The plate tectonics of the NFL are always moving.
Yeah, it's a good time to kind of review what happened here the last few months. Sig, we once had a coach in Buffalo, Rex, who claimed that the Bills won the offseason. I mean, that doesn't amount to anything, but just out of curiosity, is there a team that has you most intrigued heading into the preseason?
Well, Arizona is fun, so much fun. It's going to be entertaining and spectacular, whether it's spectacular failure or spectacular success. It's a true all-in approach. You can tell by the personnel. You can just tell by the vibe around the team. And we haven't had a love story like Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury in the NFL. It could be an ultimate rom-com. You know, it could be a story of destiny. So no matter what happens, it's going to entertain us.
Sig, we got to get your thoughts on some of what the Bills have done this offseason. You know, there's a lot of new faces. There's a big effort underway to rebuild this offense. Did Buffalo do enough in your eyes in terms of adding actual talent? We know they added bodies, but will these bodies be able to compete at the NFL level consistently?
Yeah, I think so. And there's a couple of important names beside the names they added. But look, John Brown gives them another vertical element. We saw how successful Robert Foster was in that role last year. Cole Beasley hopefully will allow Brian Daboll to train Josh Allen to take the easy pass sometimes, take the gimme, take the nickel and dime to move the ball down the field. Frank Gore, of course, is going to be giving them his all. He's just going to be a tremendous locker room fit also, I think. T.J. Yeldon is a do-everything back. Brought in Devin Singletary as sort of understudy to LeSean McCoy. So there's a lot of talent infusion here. And even Dawson Knox, who got an early opportunity with Tyler Croft's injury, ultra athlete behind three NFL-bound wide receivers at Ole Miss. But the important names I want to bring up, and I already brought up Brian Daboll, Bobby Johnson, who was part of the Indianapolis Colts line rebuild last year under Dave Duke-Guglielmo. And the, you know, Cody Ford said that's the reason he wanted to come to the Bills. He's going to start on this offensive line. They need to find a combination that's going to work. They need it to gel quickly. If that happens, now we're excited about this offense.
We're talking to Sig Bloom, footballguys.com, our guest here in the sports bar. When we, you can imagine here, we talk a ton of Bills football, and it always comes back to Josh Allen. Are the Bills going to be good? Well, it all depends on Josh Allen. Josh Allen, for fantasy purposes, however, tail end of last year, certainly intriguing as a start. How do you have Josh Allen? Where do you project him heading into year two?
Yeah. Well, look, in your typical 10 or 12 team fantasy leagues where everyone just has one quarterback, it's kind of boring because Josh Allen, I mean, you may even project him as a top 12 or top 15 quarterback based on what he did last year, but that's going to be a late round pick. It's exciting to ponder that what Brian Daboll did met him halfway and there will be more slack to allow them to scheme NFL play designs and play calls and allow and have him be more deliberate going through his progressions, less rushed in his ability, his willingness to just leave the pocket and abandon the play. Although the reality is that he might just be better playing outside of structure. So they need to find that balance. But for fantasy, actually, if they find the balance more to let him roam, then that's better because we saw how lethal he was as a runner making the Cam Newton comparisons maybe a little more apt than people thought at first.
Yeah, and Sigmund, I thought it was interesting that at the beginning of the season when Josh Allen was kind of thrust into action when nobody really expected him to be. I mean, that was an offense that was kind of tailored towards, oh God, shudder, Nathan Peterman. But
right?
You know, they made the most out of what they could early on, and then you really kind of saw them tailor it a little bit more towards Allen's attributes after his injury late in the season.
Yeah, and that's a real something we should see more about of offensive coaches. And I think Cliff Kingsbury has this, by the way, go back to Arizona. It's just being rational and level-headed about what you have and scheming to maximize what you have instead of what you wish you had or what your calling card was as an offensive mind in the NFL. So I liked that meet us halfway. I just wonder if defenses will be able to defend that easier now. So the offense needs to evolve. Allen needs to evolve. That's the big test. And again, that offensive line could be the foundation of giving him a little more margin of error as he's tightening up his mental processes.
Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com, our guest here in the sports bar, sticking with the Buffalo Bills. Just your thoughts on the Bills' skilled positions here. I mean, certainly a lot of different candidates. Who would you think would be the leader in receptions at the end of the year? And while you have all these additions to the backfield, how do you see that workload getting divvied up, Sig?
Yeah, well, first of all, on the receivers, the leading receiver might only have 45 or 50 receptions. Now, Robert Foster was fantasy relevant last year, but with John Brown, with Zay Jones, with Cole Beasley, it just might not, it might be the wrong tree to bark up. Mm-hmm. Although that being said, Brown or Foster can catch a 60-yard touchdown in any given week. So in any given week, I'll say, hey, throw him in your lineup if you have an injury or it's bye weeks or something like that. On the backfield, I'm going to say probably none of the above, because I would expect the Bills to use all four of these running backs. But something that's a big topic that I'll just toss back to you all is, will LeSean McCoy be on this team week one? I think the Bills have shown an affinity for McCoy and his services through times that they should have traded him, or at least could have traded him. So I expect him to be there in week one, but what's the local feeling about the possibility of his $6.5 million price tag sinking him down to the bottom of Lake Erie?
Yeah, I think that a lot of fans are kind of questioning why he's going to be, whether or not he will be on this roster, as you brought up. I think it's earlier in the offseason, I want to say a lot of people are like, well, trade him while you can. Trade him while you can still get him. Go ahead, get anything for him.
Yep.
Get him. And I think we're at a point now where I think more people are coming around to the idea that, hey, you know, the Pegulas, if anything, feel like they honor their word. And I think Sean McDermott mm-hmm. is an honest guy who's going to honor the terms of a contract that he had to inherit, that he probably wouldn't have made himself, but he's honored it with LeSean McCoy's, you know, at the time that they made that deal, one of the best running backs in the league. So I think, you know, this is it for LeSean McCoy. I don't see him in Buffalo after this year, but I think they will honor the terms of his contract and he's on the roster.
Yeah, and like you said, it's more of a family business approach. And yeah, I just think that as the culture turnaround has happened, McCoy's been a big part of that. And I look forward to seeing what Frank Gore can do in that kind of role too.
Yeah, and to the other point, I don't think they were getting half of what they thought. With like late round pick, what are you dealing with for? Maybe
right.
You get, we always look at the quarterback position teams need, and certainly there are a few teams around the league that might be looking at a running back position. I'm not saying that the Rams will be one of them, but going over to Los Angeles and Todd Gurley, mm-hmm. I'll put it this way, Sigmund, I don't think Todd Gurley is going to end up on my team just based off the fact that somebody's going to reach for the name there. How
right.
concerned should people be about Gurley, the reports there? Are we to assume that his days as a bell cow back with the Rams are done?
I would assume that. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't still provide more value than what it would cost to get him. He might even fall to the third round of drafts right now.
Wow.
He's in the Rams' backfield, which was a hyper-productive backfield. And even if he gets 18 touches a week, that could be enough to make him a top 10 or top 12 fantasy running back. But look, nothing positive has happened around Gurley's knee since he took that hit. I guess the week he came back, he had a good game. And then since then, it's been all negative. And it's been very uncertain. And the team hasn't been being straight with us. Until I see something positive, even just playing in a preseason game and looking like Todd Gurley, it kind of feels like the Price is Right mountain climber.
Yeah.
Where, when's it going to stop? Do-do-do. It's just going to keep going. When are we going to see something positive to stop that slide? I think Daryl Henderson going in the sixth or seventh round, which some people might think is a great reach, but I think that is a great pick over Gurley in the second or third if you're trying to get the value here, because Henderson was breaking long touchdowns in Memphis on play after play. And if we go back and watch what C.J. Anderson was doing, this Ram, and the Rams have two new starters on the offensive line, so it's not a given. But the 2018 Rams were opening up massive holes, the kind of holes that Henderson could turn into 60, 70, 80-yard touchdown runs.
You mentioned Henderson, and it segues perfectly into a conversation I want to have with you about rookies. Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. You can also listen to Sigmund's work, The Audible, the footballguys.com podcast, and his podcast On the Couch every week. Rookies, who's captured your eye coming out of the draft? And I don't want to say the name too loudly, but Mecole Hardman to me feels like the kind of guy that you know, you can get it will be a value. And again, if you're looking to get shares of a productive offense, you could do a lot worse than be a part of Kansas City's passing attack.
Yeah, absolutely. Hardman, and look, there's this whole Tyreek Hill thing. Will he get suspended? How long will he get suspended for? It sure seems like the Chiefs are committed to keeping him on their roster however they can. But Hardman's going to get Patrick Mahomes' targets, the most valuable targets you could get in the NFL. So Hardman, absolutely, when I'm turning the page in my draft to my bench, not even my first few bench players, but my bench depth, he belongs there. I think DK Metcalf belongs there. The Seahawks seem really excited about him. Again, Russell Wilson targets. If he's only going to get 60, 65, 70 targets, but they're Russell Wilson targets, that could work. Tyler Lockett was a wide receiver, too, last year with about 75 targets the whole season. So I'm excited about that. Obviously, I'm excited about Josh Jacobs. Third round of redraft, I think you're going to see him as a lead back and every down back. He's an excellent passing down back. He has a lot of tread on the tires, unlike a lot of Alabama backs. Damian Harris, too, by the way, another Alabama back. He might be better than Sony Michel running between the tackles and might cut into Michelle's work, even if Michelle's healthy. And he already had, speaking of bum knees, he already had off-season surgery on that knee. So that's a name to keep in mind. But remember what John Gruden did to Cadillac Williams in his rookie year. That makes me maybe not excited about Josh Jacobs, you know, down the line. But for this year, the sky's the limit.
Burn him out. We're talking to Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com, having a fun conversation. Let's go over to Cleveland. I mean, we're kind of torn, but I guess a lot of people are. We love Baker Mayfield. We love the potential. We're not crazy about the Kitchens hire. Tom Monken, the offensive coordinator. Project the Cleveland Browns for us, Sig.
I want to see this as a hyper-aggressive offense. Monken and what he did, as you mentioned, with the Tampa passing game, it turned it into a fantasy all-you-can-eat buffet. I won't say anything about crab legs or anything like that. Oh. But the point here is that with Odell Beckham, and that's the other thing. So with Odell Beckham changing team, we may see the Giants offense become stationary and say, wow, Beckham was really one of the main forces that allowed them to be functional with Eli Manning. And then we may see what Beckham does tactically for the Browns, opening up stuff for Jarvis Landry, for David Njoku, for Antonio Callaway. Of course, they've got Nick Chubb. They've Duke Johnson, maybe. We'll see if they have Duke Johnson. There's a lot of good skill there. We know that Baker Mayfield can make this thing go. And say what you will about the Kitchens hire, at least it's continuity. And something clicked, something worked for this team in the second half of the year. So attempting to carry that over instead of going back to square one, I do understand. And the connection between Kitchens and Mayfield is really the spark for this offense. It could be one of the three or four most exciting offenses in the league. And look, we may see that Odell Beckham, even if he isn't targeted as much, what are Baker Mayfield targets worth compared to late career Eli Manning targets? So even Beckham has the potential. Jarvis Landry's not going to get targeted as often, but they're going to be better targets. So everybody in this offense excites me, and this could be a great overachieving offense.
Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com, in New Orleans, but you know, a Yinzer at heart. And while we have you on, I mean, certainly plenty of storylines in Pittsburgh. Sig, I'm curious about, you know, how you see that backfield looking, of course, with Le'Veon Bell now clearly out of the picture. No Antonio Brown. So what does it mean for Juju? And are we undervaluing somebody else that could be catching some of those targets that are no longer there with Antonio Brown leaving there in the Pittsburgh offense?
You know, first we have to reckon with what's the importance of Brown leaving. And it's not going to, the offense isn't going to function as well without him. But they still have a tremendous offensive line. Ben Roethlisberger is still a good passer, although his attempts are going to drop probably about 100 from last year back to his previous levels. This pass offense obviously is going to support Juju Smith-Schuster's value, and it could support the value of a second receiver if Dante Moncrief grabs that number two role, or if James Washington, or even Deontay Johnson, who they really like, and they've done great developing receivers just like him. There's Vance McDonald. There's Ryan Switzer and Eli Rogers, and even Jalen Samuels' potential to play a larger role as a receiver out of the backfield. So there's, you know, I want this to be a creative offense. I want this to be more like, you know, Philadelphia or Indianapolis, where they have a variety of personnel, and depending on the opponent, they're going to deploy the personnel that puts you at the biggest disadvantage. But that's asking the Steelers' offense to be innovative, and I'm not sure that they've been innovative. I'm not sure that they're using a lot of the tactical and scheme and play design advantages that can be created. So I'm still skeptical about that. And that's why the other question here is James Conner, because James Conner last year was worth a first-round pick. Now, Conner himself is saying more running back committee. It might be rational for them to have more running back by committee, but under Tomlin, they've been a one-back backfield, whether it's D'Angelo Williams or Le'Veon Bell. So again, that attitude makes me think, well, if they're not going to evolve, then maybe James Conner is still worth a first-round pick and a value if he falls to the second.
Yeah, and James Conner, will, assuming you pile up the wins, is he durable enough over the long haul to pay off for you in December, Zig?
Well, that's the thing, and that's why it's rational. In addition to Jalen Samuels, because Samuels, you can put a tight end or H-back, you can line him up in the backfield, and then before the snap, move him out, or vice versa. So, and Conner wore down last year. So it sure would make sense to give Conner more like 15 to 20 touches a game early so that you still have him in January. But again, that never stopped the Steelers from overworking Le'Veon Bell and having him break down in the playoffs, or overworking D'Angelo Williams at the end of his career. That's just what they do.
We talk football for hours with Sigmund Bloom, our guest here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Our audience can certainly benefit from being a part of footballguys.com. Sig, I want to make sure you have the floor and plenty of time to tell us about the website. Tell us about the Dominator app. It's my secret weapon. What's new headed into this season?
Yeah, the mobile draft Dominator is free this year. That's what's one of the things that's new. You know, we will just put our reputation behind our products, and I think we'll always over-deliver. Same thing for subscribers, and we cover DFS and Dynasty and IDP fantasy football, but also my podcast, which we do 8 episodes a week during the season, is free, and our newswire is free, and it's a place, a community, I think, for people just to think too much about football, and that's most of
it. We appreciate your time, and yeah, it's going to be here before you know it. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Always look forward to it.
Talk to you soon, Sigmund. Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com in the Big Easy. Love talking football with the football guys. And Sig is, he's my favorite. I'm going to unabashedly say that guy is my favorite.
So, sleepers. Mecole Hardman?
Mecole Hardman in Kansas City. Rookie. I mean, look, he's fast. If Tyreek Hill doesn't play, do you think Sammy Watkins is getting all of that love? I like Hardman. Hardman, to me, is the guy that somebody will draft in the mid rounds, and there'll be a handful of guys in your draft room that'll be like, I don't even know who Hardman is. Who's that? Who's that pick? Yeah. And in your head, you're secretly saying to yourself, value suckers. You don't even know who he is. Just wait. That's the guy that could be their Tyreek Hill this year if Tyreek Hill misses time.
What about as an RB4 Devin Singletary? I mean, the answer to that is let's wait and see a little bit in the preseason, but maybe we have one of those guys in Buffalo that'll kind of sneak on in the end.
Yeah, and also, you know what? We say how much of it depends on Josh Allen in 2019 for the Buffalo Bills. That offensive line starts everything, right? And Sigmund brought it up. I mean, you know, Bobby Johnson's got his work cut out for him. He's got to figure out how to make all of these pieces work. If you had to, and you know, he mentioned Cody Ford. Cody Ford should start opening day. Now, is he your right tackle? Is he your right guard? I mean, I like the configuration of Dawkins from left to right. Dawkins, Spain, Morse, Ford, and Secchi. If you make that work, it's a badass line.
Then you keep the guy from the Raiders as a backup. Mm-hmm. You probably keep Spencer Long as a
utility guy.
Yeah,
he's so your Ryan Groy.
Yeah, you have a few utility guys.
Sure. So we'll see how it all shakes out. That was great. I love talking with Sigmund Bloom. Footballguys.com if you missed it or if you came in late. We'll get it for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com. And you can always hear our highlights on demand through the radio.com app. Just search out the sports bar. Some sports thoughts to wrap your mind around next. Our take space. I'll drink to that. Takes are on tap next in the sports bar. I have an unpopular opinion to share. I have a fantasy take that I saw an NFL analyst throw out there that I wanted to bring to your attention, Gene. And I've got my non-sports take as well.
I've got an NBA take on Kawhi Leonard. Hey, Toronto, you had your day. Okay, that's old news now. Congratulations, you won. We're on to next year, and I want to give my opinion on what Leonard would do next year, what will be best for him. Giants fans, you're embarrassing yourself, okay? You got to get over it, right? You want, New York Giant fan, look, I'm going to lay this out, and then if you actually are honest with yourself, hey, you could go through life being a miserable F, or you could actually accept and move on. But you right now are just a bunch of miserable people. Giant fan.
I'll drink to that is on the way next. Takes on tap in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.